You know, one of the great things about doing what I do at WBGO is pretty much staying out of the way of the music. But aside from that, one of the highlights is when a true master of this music makes an appearance on this program. And such is the case this morning. It's very seldom that you will run into someone in the course of your life who knew Thelonious Monk, who saw Charlie Parker with strings at a dance hall in Detroit, Michigan.
It wasn't even a dance hall.
What was it?
Roller skating.
A roller rink. Yeah, but all you had to do was take the skates off and you could dance.
No. They weren't skating. No, they came there to dance.
Yeah.
We stood in front of the thing while the strings tuned up. Because it was with strings.
Folks, we're chatting with Barry Harris this morning. Dr. Harris.
Oh, boy.
The doctor in the house. I'm feeling pretty good, though.
Don't say it too good.
I don't think I'll need you. I'm feeling pretty good.
Please,
but I'll tell you.
Please don't need me.
The legacy of your music, the legacy of your role in jazz education are things that we could talk about for weeks. But what I'd rather do is I'd rather sit and talk about the immediate future tonight and tomorrow night at the New Jazz Forum in Tarrytown after maybe you give us a taste on our wonderful Steinway grand piano. Mm. A grand player, folks, NEA jazz master, been honored all over the world. And lives in Weehawken. Where does he live? New Jersey. Weehawken.
Talk that talk. Talk that talk. Keep talking, my brother.
Barry Harris.
You mentioned Monk.
Thank you.
almost. Mm. Almost all right.
You know what most people forget? They forget how pretty a monk composition could be, don't they, Barry?
Well, you know, he was a master.
We're chatting with Barry Harris here on WBGO. If you're just joining us, good morning. And what a treat it is for all of us to welcome Barry Harris to WBGO this morning, a guy who knew Monk more than most of us. He said Monk came over to visit one day and stayed 10 years.
That's right. That's exactly right. Stayed 10 years in my bed. 10 years in my bed. Oh, boy.
What was Monk the person? Monk the person.
Huh?
Monk the person.
Very quiet. No waste of words. Never waste words. You know, when he said something, you believe it was something. He'd be completely silent. His favorite saying was, two is one. That was one of his things. Two is one. Trying to figure that one out. It's true in a lot of instances. Two is one. And he was, I can't even tell you, you know, you couldn't get too much out of Monk, you know. But when he got up on the stage, that you had to see him. I think people came to see him.
Well, and when he practiced, I think you made this observation, when he practiced, he didn't practice to practice, he practiced to perform.
Oh, yeah. No, he practiced performing. He's the only person I know. I never heard of such a thing. I couldn't do it myself. There's a tape. One day we had to get these tapes together so they could come out, be released. There's a tape of Monk practicing a song like Lulu's Back in Town or something like that. And he plays it for 90 minutes. Tapes were 60 minutes, 90 minutes, you know. He played a whole tape in time by himself. So he practiced playing, really. So that he really practiced. He knew how to practice playing.
The two of you, one time, 25 different takes, after take after take,
oh, yeah,
on
took
My Ideal?
One song, My Ideal. Man, that's really the truth, too.
You and know, different the whole way, wasn't it?
Yeah, oh. He'd play it, I'd play it, he'd play it, I'd play it. You know, it was fun. It's just a drag. It wasn't recorded.
Yeah.
You know, we like most of the stuff in the Baroness's house, tape recorder was set up so it could record from anywhere, you know. And this one time it wasn't set up, it wasn't on.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a drag because we really did. I don't know how many times we played that piece.
You know what's the only thing that's better than any kind of recording that's captured? It's the live performance. And you ain't done yet. You're far from done. Tonight and tomorrow night with your trio at the New Jazz Forum in Tarrytown. And it's my pleasure to also say good morning to the proprietor of Jazz Forum and every one of its incarnations, including the old joint down there on Bond and Broadway Street, and you took that elevator up, you thought, this may be the last performance I'm ever going to see in my life. Mark Morganelli, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Gary.
Nice to have you here. The New Jazz Forum, why another run at a jazz club?
Well, it's so funny because people come up to me and say, is this your dream? And yes, in a way it is, but really the dream is to be able to collaborate with my wife, Ellen Pryor, and present the third Jazz Forum 34 years after we went out of business with the second Jazz Forum. So that's what makes it special. She's having a ball, and I'm having a great time. We're seeing all kinds of wonderful people, hearing great music. We really weren't looking to do that. We were just looking to downsize. You know, our kids are now 27 and 22. And we looked at some houses in Tarrytown, and nothing spoke to us. And I saw this building. And as Barry knows, you know, I saw Cooper Square, a loft, you know, in between an alcohol program and a methadone clinic with a plastics company on the other floor, and that became the first Jazz Forum. Then when we got kicked out of there, the second Jazz Forum had been the Reggae Lounge, the whole fifth floor at Broadway and Bleecker, 5,000 square feet. And we went in there, and it was basically columns, 12-foot columns, brick walls, and nothing else in the whole place. And we had to build it in 2 weeks or 3 weeks and open. The new Jazz Forum was a raw space on the ground floor, former bakery and antiques wholesale place, but nothing. Concrete floor, white walls, and a couple of track lights, and one bathroom. And now it's a 100-seat jazz club.
Cool. And what's the address?
1 Dixon Lane in Tarrytown.
In Tarrytown. Yeah. And tonight and tomorrow night,
the Barry Harris Trio with Ray Drummond on bass and Leroy Williams on drums.
Oh, your choice.
Oh, my choice.
Yeah, your choices.
Yes, my choice. So,
and you know what? I've convinced these guys pretty much because when they weren't looking, I swiped the car keys. And they're not going to be able to leave until this morning, and they're going to be with us throughout the morning. Barry Harris, a true legend of this music, is with us this morning. He's at our Steinway Grand Piano, joined by the proprietor of the third take of the Jazz Forum that is in Tarrytown. And tonight and tomorrow night, they're presenting the Barry Harris Trio live. And we present him this morning live. What a thrill it is to have a fellow Detroiter in the house this morning. That's where Barry started his career, his lessons, classical music, I believe, originally. And then on through high school when his mother said, look, son, what do you want to do here? You want to do classical? You want to do jazz? He says, I'll do jazz. Not attending Cass Technical High School, the school that gets all the props, but Crosstown Northeast, right?
That's right, Northeastern.
Yeah. And you were a pretty fair boogie-woogie piano player.
Yeah, me and Barry Gordy.
Did you hear that name?
Barry Gordy.
Barry Gordy. Yeah, that Barry Gordy. And they played Boogie Woogie together in high school.
That's right.
Earlier, at one of his recitals, who was the other cat that played the recital with you?
Tommy Flanagan.
Huh? Huh? Yeah. You know, when you've got that kind of nudge, right, from sitting next to you, Tommy Flanagan going, yeah, show me what you got. And he's going, yeah, I'll show you what I got. But you show me what you got.
And
but
there
Detroit
was another piano player, too. You know, I think he told me this right before he died, you know. It was Sir Roland Hanna. You know what he said to me? He said, Barry, me and Sonny Red used to climb those stairs to learn how to play chords and jazz. They all came to my house. You know, Roland used to come to my house. Joe Henderson came to my house. Coltrane came to my house. All these people came. A lot of people came to my house. Frank Foster. You know, sometimes I think that maybe people knew about me in a way that I didn't even know about me. All over the country, the people must have known about me. I didn't think about that when I was young, but I think about it now when I think of all these people did come. And you got to think that some of the Motown people, James Jamerson, the bass player, he grew up with Charles and Lonnie. They come to my house to learn how to play. He grew up with Charles McPherson, Lonnie Hillier, James Jamerson, the little piano player, his name was Johnny Griffith. He was a little kid, lived two doors from me, played the piano.
See, and you stuck with it in Detroit. In Detroit, folks don't know the jazz. There was the clubs, the Whippoorwill, the Chesterfield.
Well, you know.
The One Lean Green, you make the scene down the Golden Room of the 20 Grand.
Well, see, mostly when you think of Bird, they think of Tallahassee, you think of dance halls. There was the Great Stone Ballroom, the Mirror Ballroom, the Grand Ballroom. So Bird and them all came. They all came to places like that, you know.
You're one of the only people I know that saw Charlie Parker with strings, right?
I'm probably one of the only ones that played with Bird. He let me sit in with him when I was a kid. Maybe I was 19. Maybe I don't even know if I was 19.
Did he tell you anything?
He's just a beautiful person.
Yeah.
You know, you'd never believe that, you know, that other side of him, because he was really intelligent cat and speak well. We were lucky, too, because his band didn't show up one time on time. So we all was there. So we went up and played with him. So we played a whole, maybe a few tunes with him, you know.
And you were a teenager at the time.
Oh, yeah. We were like, well, maybe 20. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly when he came to the, and we watched him with strings. We were very lucky. Because if you ever saw Bird, you know. I can't. Let's see, what can I say? You expect a lot. You know, see, there's like, when Bird came to the Forest Club, the roller rink, the string set up, and Bird came out. He blew some on the horns, all over the horn instrument, you know, like that. And then they started. And then you felt that chill start in your feet and go all through your body. Mm-hmm. And you feel something, you know, orgasmic and all kind of thing. It's just so much. And see,
Do you still get that feeling today when you hear Charlie Parker?
No, see, that's what... That's the feel that you be looking for.
Yeah.
See, when I go somewhere, I'm looking for. Well, I even decided that I have to try to give off that feeling to make people feel like that. So I try to divorce myself from myself. That's the hard part. It happened one time. I was playing with Wes Montgomery in the five spot, and I was playing, Wes played, and then I started playing. But then, something weird, really. It was like I was over there watching me play. I was watching me play, and on this bandstand with some other musicians that wasn't on that bandstand, but they were there from me in that position. And, you know, to give off the feeling, I guess one has to give it to oneself first.
This chill.
Yeah.
And the thrill.
Yeah, you have to give it to yourself.
Of seeing somebody like Barry Harris with Ray Drummond and Leroy Williams tonight and tomorrow night on stage at the Jazz Forum in Tarrytown.
I will be trying.
And here this morning?
I'll be trying to give off that feeling.
There you go.
Because that's all I can think of is... Oh man, what that feeling was like!
Can you put your best will on a little bit of chill for us this morning?
Ooh man, see, I might play Billy Strayhorn wrote a song, and it's called "Lotus Blossom." Thank you. is called Lotus Blossom. And that's a pretty song. Billy Strayhorn, Duke Ellington said he thought that was the most beautiful song that Billy Strayhorn wrote, you know. And it's a beautiful song, really. I argue with, well, see, I started playing it after the teacher. There was one teacher that I really respected in Europe. His name was Franz Elsen. And I heard him play it one day. And he died on me because he used to travel with me. When I went to Russia, he went with me. When I went to Italy, he went with me. Different places, he came to the U.S., you know, and I heard him play it. He played the melody and the bass.
Mm.
Some kind of way he did. I can't play it like him. He played it really good.
But see, the fact that you got both hands working there also speaks and dispels the tradition that a lot of young players have, where the left hand takes care of the chords and the right hand is the hand that runs up and down the keyboard. Oh, that's not right, is it?
That's ridiculous. I don't know who came up with it.
Yeah.
I tried to figure it out. I even saw a beginner's book for children. It didn't have a bass clef.
Huh.
It said treble clef, treble clef. I say, what? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of in my life.
I heard something that sounded pretty ridiculous to me. Do you still take lessons?
Well, I did, yeah. My teacher is 95 years old now, so I haven't been to her in a while now. Because she's getting nearly out of it, you know. Now, my teacher... Well, I've always felt that jazz musicians don't play enough.
Yeah.
So each one of us should take lessons because that gives us something to do. So we have to, and it's with our instrument, and we have to do it. And so it's just going to make you get better on the instrument.
Well, and the first time you play Lotus Blossom, it sure as heck ain't going to sound as pretty as it just did now, is it?
Oh, man. Well, this piano is pretty good piano, see?
I think the cat sitting at it is pretty good, too. I think that has something to do with it.
Oh, yeah. But you'd be surprised the fun is finding the piano player finding the piano. See? I could tell by just the touch. See, most people they like to go down to the bottom.
What can you tell about this piano? Is it friendly piano? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. But you got to be friendly with it though.
Yeah.
See. Oh, see, so it's pretty. It's pretty.
For those of you listening at home right now, the Steinway is smiling. Should know that. What's that melody?
Last time I saw Paris.
That's what it is.
The last time I saw Paris. That's pretty one.
See, and tomorrow night, he's going to make you see Paris, or at least feel a taste of it, perhaps.
Oh, yeah, I'll see. Boy, you hear Monk play this?
Thank you.
I said, well, see, I believe in playing the pretty songs. You know what it is. People, when they play a classical recital, they play Bach, they play Beethoven, they play Chopin. So you mean I play Charlie Parker, I play Bud Powell, and I play Monk. I think every musician should play them, you know.
It makes them pretty, too.
I mean, I told, who did I tell that, Mahal, Richard Abrams, I told him, I said, look, man, every time you play a concert, you should play a Monk. You should play a Bud Powell. You should play a Dizzy Gillespie. What was this song? Oh man, these songs, get out of here.
See what Detroit does to you?
He messes you up.
It messes you up in a good way. And we're happy to have Barry Harris with us all morning on WBGO tonight. And tomorrow night, Mark Morganelli and the folks at the Jazz Forum in Tarrytown are very happy to present the Barry Harris Trio in performance. Mark Morganelli, very fine musician, also might don't want to overshadow or under display his skills as a cross-country runner. Once upon a time, he had it going on. Helps the lungs, helps the playing, I guess, downstream. And also quite a club proprietor, third time around. Jazz Forum is just opened about a month ago.
8 weeks.
8 weeks. Okay. So still on the bottle, right? After 8 weeks, and the child's still on the bottle after 8 weeks, I think. But up in Tarrytown, the Jazz Forum, and you got some great folks. I know Donald Harrison was just through there, and Barry Harris is tonight and tomorrow night with the trio. And Barry, I don't know how you do this, because you just played the Jazz Showcase in Chicago 2 weeks ago.
That's right. Well, no, I was before that. I was in London. The week before that, I was in London. I played it at Pizza Express.
Yeah.
And I taught. And then I went, see, at the end of this month, I got to go to Holland, and then I leave Holland and go to Italy.
You know, it's a thrill for me. It's a thrill to be sitting here with you this morning, and I'll tell you why. I moved here in New York City in 1982. I lived on 34th Street and Park, and I was married at the time.
How'd you get...
And we took a walk one night and came upon 28th and 8th.
That's right.
The Jazz Cultural Theater.
That's right.
And I came back time and time again. I don't know if you recognize his face. I've gotten more handsome over the years. You may not have recognized the 1982 view of what you're looking at now.
Because that was the time that he closed.
Yeah.
And I opened up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because I think you must have closed in what year?
Early 83, but you split at the end of 82 or in the middle of 82.
I started in 82.
Yeah.
And you closed because
April
then
83.
Kobe opened her place.
Yeah.
You know, Kobe opened hers.
But I remember one particular night. It was the only time I ever saw the great Jimmy Slide.
Mm.
Oh.
Was at the Jazz Cultural Theater. You know, I mean, and there were special nights like that.
But you know something that's strange? Clint Eastwood came to my concert. It was the concert that Jimmy Slide was on. He had never seen Jimmy Slide, had never heard of him.
Yeah.
That's all he could talk about is Jimmy Slide. I figured, well, maybe he might use Jimmy Slide in something, you know, because Jimmy Slide knocked him out. You know, so.
You weren't in the Bird film, but you were in the Monk film, right?
No, I was in the Bird film.
You're in the Bird film.
No,
right?
Well, no, you know, we were all in the Bird film. A lot of jazz musicians, because we were in the background. No, you know what they did? They augmented the strings.
That's right.
And then they changed piano players.
Yeah.
I played on. Oh, don't ask me what I played on. I don't even know what I played on.
Yeah. But back to the Jazz Cultural Theater. I mean, this was a place, I think the first time I saw Red Rodney was in that club, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody came through there and jammed till all hours of the day and night. And at the same time, there was an atmosphere of the colloquial, the casual jazz lesson, if you will, that I think has stuck with people over the years.
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
From just creating that environment.
Art Blakey gave me a drum set. Art Blakey got one of the companies to send me a drum set.
Yeah.
I had one fellow advised, Lionel Hampton would come in and play the vibes. He always said, I'm going to bring some vibes for you. He never did, but he always was going to bring me some vibes. And he always would say, who are you? What's your name? he said, do you play organ? Something like that, you know. It's really funny. You know?
Oh, boy. Now, you started out in the church. You might have played an organ once
Never. I never messed with it. I come from a little poor church. We had a piano, that's all.
That was it?
That's it, you know. Now, these churches are different, so entirely different, man. The only people that are really, you know what's strange, I tell you, the strangest part of is that I teach all over the world. But I don't do much teaching here, because except for my class, because Berkeley can't stand me. They can't deal with me. Berkeley, North Texas State, they can't deal with me, you know.
You're in league all
I
by
hate to,
yourself.
I hate to talk about them, but you know, new school, no, none of them.
Now, do you still work with you used to do an annual concert with vocal ensemble.
No, I haven't done it in a long time now.
Yeah.
You know, because I used to write all the music. I wrote for strings. I never wrote for strings before in my life. But one time, what was it? We had to go to Detroit. Charles McPherson was going to play the lady, her music that she sang, you know, Billie Holiday. Mm-hmm. And Ernie Wilkins had written the music. So what happened was, it was a few days before the concert, we hadn't heard from Ernie Wilkins. Ernie Wilkins was over in Europe with the music. We had no music. We had 10 strings waiting for us in Detroit. So I said, well, we better get some music together. So I got, what's the name? Oh, names are hard to find. He sat next to me, and I started writing music for strings, you know.
Never done it before.
I wrote out arrangements for about 8 songs. And we finished up on the plane, and Paul Jeffries, that's who did the work for me. But you know what? After the concert was over, one lady who had been with the Detroit Symphony, she came over to me and she said, that was the most beautiful music I've ever played. Why she did that? My head did that.
Yeah.
My head big anyway, but I said, oh, shoot. You hear what she said?
But see, when you do that, then you're never afraid. You know, you're never afraid. You forge ahead. You know, Mark, I'm thinking, we're chatting with Barry Harris, by the way, and Mark Morganelli, who once upon a time produced a recording with Barry Harris and Kenny Barron at the Riverside
Park Arts Festival.
The
Boat Basin. We did 13 years of concerts that started in 85, and I think that record was like around late 89 or so.
You should have started something like that this summer, too.
Yeah.
Because Jazzmobile is sort of slack. That's changed completely.
Huh.
You know?
Yeah.
We don't do anything, you know. See, you know what I feel? We don't have a jazz festival anymore in New York. That's ridiculous.
Right.
I figure where we should have a jazz festival, in spite of that, we should have it.
Oh, there you go.
You know, like line up a few joints and call it the jazz festival.
You know, they did. They tried that once upon a time by getting all the club owners together. and the Village Jazz Festival, right? And,
I was in on the beginning in 82 with Max Gordon, Barney Josephson, Art DeLugoff, Alan Pepper, you know, all those people. It was amazing.
But some of those are gone now.
We had Dizzy's Big Band do the opening concert at Washington Square Park.
And we used to do solo piano at a place. And you know what, man? We always sold out. I don't understand why we don't have that.
Well, you might have it tonight and tomorrow night up in Tarrytown.
Let's hope.
At the Jazz Forum because legendary Barry Harris
his
trio.
I always tell people, I say, each one of you bring 20 of your friends. Bring 20 of your friends and line up around the block so I could, at least I could say, ooh.
That's right.
Look at it. I got people all around the block.
It's like the old days.
Yeah.
Ray Drummond and Leroy Williams going to join him tonight on stage and tomorrow night. Some nice trio things going together. And there's a synergy involved because these two cats are the choice of Barry Harris time and time and time and time again. And so you create that synergy, man, where just the call and response of the moment is really something to take in. And the moment here this morning beckons for another Barry Harris at the piano.
Thank you.
Can you play something?
Play something?
Yeah. You pick it.
what did that boy say? Other one for the other show. What is it? Flintstones. Some of these people, gee, I don't even know about that. So we had to bring them in on the thing and let them know.
Hey, come on.
Yeah, we got to tell the story first.
That's right.
And let them get used to that.
But see, that was a day, man, where television really informed. You know, the very first music that I heard that inspired me not to play, but to have my mother take me down to the record shop so I could buy it was this detective show that I really liked called Peter Gunn.
Mm. Yeah.
And I went in and I said, I want that. And the guy said, are you sure? And I said, yes. And he says, that's an album. It's $2.98. I said, I'll take it. And it was Henry Mancini's music.
Yeah.
And did I know it was jazz? Of course not. I was 9 years old. I didn't know what the hell it was, but I knew how good
that's
I felt.
That's what you wanted. Yeah.
You know, it's like what I felt was that chill that you felt sitting there in front of Bird that night.
I'm telling you.
Same thing, and I wonder if you know there are theme songs like I Love Lucy and the Flintstones and much more.
But there was one in I'd love to find. I loved Bob Barker. Price is Right, that's right. And the Price is Right, at the end of the show, there was a song being played. Man, that was the prettiest thing that you ever wanted to hear. And if you listen to it, I don't remember any part of it, But I'd like to know it because I would have loved to have recorded it.
You know who's good at that? You know, and I call these people tune archaeologists, is guitarist Russell Malone.
Who is that?
You know, Russell Malone.
He knows how to do that?
No, he'll go find these tunes in little out-of-the-way places, like from the James Coburn movie, Our Man Flint, right? Or the, on his new record.
I wonder if he could find that. I'm going to ask Russell.
He probably could. On his new record, he does the theme from Chico and the Man. Freddie Prinze, remember in that comedy show? And it's great.
Wow.
It's a great little piece of music.
Yeah. No, you know what? That is something. Because, you know, I wanted to go to Channel 7 because Reverend Gensel, see, Channel 7 used to have, at 7:05, right before Jeopardy, they featured some person or they bit something about a person, and Reverend Gensel was one. And he came to me. I was in the hospital. And Reverend Gensel came, and Mayor Dinkins came. Everybody in the hospital was saying, who the heck is this? And then all these people start sneaking into the place, coming up to my room. They finally had to bring me downstairs to the lobby. I'd have 45 people sitting on the floor around me. And other people would say, now, the heck is this?
Yeah,
man, it was such a thing. My whole class would be sitting down. You know, they had to bring me downstairs in a wheelchair.
I'm gonna tell you, folks, there's gonna be more than 45 people sitting around man tonight.
Oh yeah,
and tomorrow night, Jazz Forum, Tarrytown, New York, the Barry Harris Trio, Ray Drummond, Leroy Williams, and Mark Morganelli had the good taste of booking the legend. It is Barry Harris.
We have so much common ground. Barry taught his workshop in the first Jazz Forum before we even opened.
That's right.
Before we even opened the doors 38 years ago
and
to present Dizzy Reese at 50 Cooper Square.
And, so, and we might get some of the people with this one. I changed that. I just have a ball. I play my own line in there.
That's all right.
But you know, we even play that. So tell them they come. Isn't she lovely?
Yeah. He's also from Detroit, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Motown.
I saw Little Stevie Wonder on a flatbed truck at a mall.
Wow.
In outside of Detroit, Southfield, and he was lip syncing, Fingertips. Because that was a huge hit. He was like 12 years old.
Little Stevie Wonder.
Little Stevie Wonder.
Who was the little kid that, Little Richard or something, the little kid that was in a movie with Van Johnson. And you had to go to television. You had to go, you had to go into the internet. They got all this stuff in the internet. It's unbelievable. This little boy be playing the blues and singing the blues, my man.
Yeah.
He must have been about 7.
Well, you know, you watch it, if you could find, I saw an early, I think it was a kinescope or something, of Billy Preston when he was like 12 years old. And I mean, just wailing on it. Yeah.
You know, right now what we have now is a bunch of church piano players. Some of them have never had a lesson. They just started playing the piano in church. And the hippest people I know are the church piano players.
Absolutely.
You know?
No, you can't teach what they got.
You know?
You can't teach what you got because you started out there.
Oh, yeah. I started out in church just like the rest. Oh, boy. Well, you know, we just hope that a lot of people come out. You know, it would be nice. It's nice because it makes one feel happy.
Yeah.
And it makes us play better. Even though we play good before a small crowd too, but we much prefer to play good before great big crowd, you know. And that's what we're looking for tonight.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, thank you for performing for our crowd this morning.
Oh, thank you.
Which is fairly sizable on a good day anyway. And Barry Harris, will you take us out this morning with something special to you?
Something special? I don't know. See, I say, if I was something, I'd say.
It's coming tonight.
Leave you a little taste. Come tonight and pack the place, and I'll show you some more.
Barry Harris on WBGO, Mark Morganelli, too. Jazz Forum, the place tonight and tomorrow night in Tarrytown, and WBGO Newark, the place this morning.
Thank you.
Barry Harris, thank you.
Thank you there. Thank you for inviting us here.